I will give this a go. I always make fun of John when he's got this on because he looks like he's in a boy band. But I'm sure it looks different on me, right? We'll just hope. For those of you that don't know, I am not John Richards. So if you are first time coming here, do not let this indicate anything that you normally would be hearing. I'm Chris Clark. I'm one of the elders, along with Brent. And so if Brent and I are the ones that are left in charge, we're in trouble, right? But I'm sure the Lord will bless. We are in at least what... So in Sunday school, in our adult Sunday school, I usually teach that, and today Brian helped picked up so that at least I wouldn't have to do both. But I am actually kind of cheating a little bit. I'm taking some of our Sunday school, at least what I would have normally had prepared for Sunday school. I was actually gone on this little time frame day that where we're getting our message from, Acts 3. And so it was one of those things that kind of stuck with me. And it was kind of like I couldn't shake it. It was just like there. And so when John asked if I would cover, and I was like, you know, yeah, I think I got something, because it was just something that was just sitting on me. And so we're going to be reading out of, there we go, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And as we're talking the lame man healed. So we're going to read through that. I'm going to pray, read through that, and then we'll start it off. I'm going to first start off kind of going through just the verses, kind of just expository, and then kind of that'll lead into something else. And so you might have to bear with me when I make the connection of what I'm talking about to this text, because I didn't make a jump, but I think it's reasonable. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll go for it. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person here, Lord, and I just pray that you would bless. You would meet us here. Each one of us carries burdens. Each one of us comes with weight of day-to-day life. And so, Father, I just ask that you would just meet with us, minister to each and every person here, draw alongside us, and Father, I just pray that we would be blessed with that, Lord. I pray that you would guide the words that I would say, and Father, just that everybody would be blessed when hearing from you and not from me, Father. In this confidence, we just lift this prayer up to your holy name. Amen. Real quick, a little tidbit. My mom is here. And so I'm going to pretend that everybody is my mom, because no matter what I say, she's going to love what I say. So I'm sorry, you're all my mom right now. And so yeah, right. Okay. all right, so healing the lame man. Now, Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he, who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Okay, so like I said, we're going to go through and look up, or go through and go through the text, And then we'll see where God leads us. And so you guys remember, I don't know if I'm dating myself. I don't need to date myself with my white hair. But growing up, we had those We Sing songs, a tape we put in. And I don't know if you guys remember the, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have give I thee, right? And that would just be playing all the time. So it's basically the song of this. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There we go. We got a few old timers that are going to be representing. Okay. So let me get organized here. So at the hour of prayer, so Peter and John were continuing the Jewish custom of prayer at that certain hour of the day. It's the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m., and it was the custom of evening sacrifice and primary hour for prayer. And so Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, not to sacrifice, right? They already knew that. They had just, about 40 days plus-ish ago that Jesus was crucified. Jesus was raised from the dead. And so they're not going to sacrifice. He already died on the cross, atoned for the sins, and they were just going to pray, just kind of following the same customs, okay? They're going through the gate, the beautiful gate that, I did some research and was looking around on this, and there was a few things that, the historians and scholars still don't, right, agree necessarily. There's because different things, but it was actually the Jewish historian Josephus described the gate on the Temple Mount made from fine Corinthian brass, 75 feet high. It was huge double doors, and it separated the court of the Gentiles from the court of the women. Okay, there's just some logistics there. So it said there's a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb. All right. So he was lame from birth, meaning he never walked in his life. He was, if we look ahead, Acts 4:22 says he was 40 years old. All right. So he's 40 years old. And so when you think about that, he's been there pretty consistently. He hasn't been there for 40 years, but he's 40 years old. So they know him. They got to know this guy through the ins and outs, the travelings of the, through the, entering the temple. We know that he was a pretty, common man that people would recognize. He was a beggar. He was placed daily at the gate. So he relied on his friends, right? He wasn't able to walk. And so he relied on his friends to bring him there, drop him off, relied on some people or friends to take him home, right? He simply wanted to be supported in the conditions that he was in, right? I'm sure he felt he had no other option than asking for handouts or begging, right? He was, he didn't have anything else to do. He wasn't looking for a job. He wasn't going on interviews, right? He was just basically stuck where he was at. There was a pretty strong tradition in Judaism that would account for alms, the giving to the poor. Especially to beggars, as an act of righteousness, right? So it was pretty common practice. He felt confident, hey, as long as I can get to that gate, be there, people will help me out. They'll give me at least something, right? So on that day, he was looking for, just some money to help him out. A few shekels to last through the day or the week or whatever. He wasn't looking for a transformation, was he, right? He was looking for something that he could get, and he could fix his woes for that day, that particular moment. All right. And so as we get through there, going down, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said to him, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So they looked at him. They locked eyes on him, okay? He must have been pretty happy and encouraged when Peter and John looked at him intently. I mean, when we think about it, most people, if you are walking down the road or driving down the road, think about yourself in this situation. You got somebody that's on the corner panhandling. Maybe it's just me, but I'm pulling up to the corner. If I don't have anything to give him, I'm not going to give him anything or entertain. I'm not looking at him, making eye contact. I'm looking ahead going, right? How many of you guys are like, it's like, I'm looking, don't make eye contact. They're over there. Don't make eye contact. Just pretend right there, okay? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me, okay. Right, but they looked at him. They made eye contact with him. So he knew, right? Okay, these guys are aware of me. They see me. I might get something on this deal, right? Okay. And he was just going to ask for, he was just asking for alms. He was asking for money, right? And he was pretty confident that he was going to get it, right? Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. And so what did Peter and John have, right? They had Jesus, right? They had Jesus, okay? You know, the money that he was looking for would have been a temporary fix. I mean, it would have been good. We all need money. I mean, we go to work. We just got to have it. It might have fed him, or put clothes on his back, pay the rent. But he would have been right back where he was there, right? Eventually. But it's all just temporary. That would have, the money would have run out. The clothes would have, gotten soiled, dirty, rotten, whatever. But instead of a temporary fix, he got eternal blessing. Isn't that true of us that we so often want something that we think that will fix all of our problems, right? But most of the time, it just leads us back to the same place where we were when we started, no better off, still wondering, still needing that extra temporary fix, right? To the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, right? When Peter and John gave him no money, we might have heard the lame man complain, well, you don't love me. You don't care about me. You ain't supporting me, you know, just look at me, I'm a mess, right? How often do the world, we hear that from the world when we don't tell them exactly what they want to hear, when we are giving them Jesus' love and not the money that they're asking for, or not validation in their delusions, right? So often we hear that we are not a loving people. And so that could be further from the truth, right? Peter and John wanted something greater than supporting the man in his current condition. They wanted to transform his life by the power of Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ. And here's a quote I came across, and I'm not familiar with this person, Lasor. Maybe you guys might be, but it is not the church's business in this world to simply make the present condition more bearable. The task of the church is to release here on earth the redemptive work of God in Christ. All right? So let me read that again. It's not the church's business in this world to simply make the present condition more bearable. Right, so often or not, we'd cover up or just by giving fixes, band-aids, right, whatever. That's not going to heal. That's not going to go to the root of the problem, okay? Peter gave the lame man power in the name of Jesus, but he could not give it to him unless he had it in his own life. Many people want to be able to say, rise up and walk, without having received the power of Jesus to transform their own life, right? All right. So often the world has the want of the power, but they do not want what it costs to transform their life. They don't want to give up. They don't want it, right? They want the power, but they want their own autonomy. They want to remain on the throne of their heart, right? They don't want to have that transformed life because they know what it means, giving up of themselves. Okay? And so he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that he had been, or excuse me, They knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So as soon as he was healed, the formerly lame man did three things, right? First, he attached himself to the apostles. Support. I remember when I first became a Christian in the community of believers that brought, you know, and that supported, it was just astounding. It was just like a second family that would you know, help and give advice, and we would just meet and eat, and it would just be a wonderful time of community and fellowship. Second, he immediately started to use what God had given him, right? Walking and leaping. He didn't sit there and say, I'm healed, right? Still sitting down and wallowing where he was at, right? The Lord blessed him, the Lord healed him, and he was using what the Lord gave him. He was walking and leaping, all right? Just think about the idea that this man, you know, 40 years old, that he had been crippled since birth, he was a familiar sight to the temple, right? Therefore, Jesus must have passed him by many times without healing him, right? Just think of that, okay? And he began to praise and worship God, all right? He pointed to the Lord where his source came from, where that source of that power came from, how he was able to walk and leap, right? He pointed to Jesus. And so that question of why did Jesus not heal him earlier, okay? And that's what kind of got me on this timing, you know, God's timing. And it was just an innocuous question of why didn't God heal him or why didn't Jesus heal him? You know, he must have walked past him, right, numerous times. He must have walked past numerous beggars or whatever throughout Jesus' walk or time in Jerusalem. Why? Right? Why was his timing just then to heal him there? Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things. And so what I did was I looked up, all right, what does Scripture tell us about God's timing? Okay. So according to Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Right? His timing is perfect and sovereign, right? There's an appointed time for everything. God controls the timing of all events. His timing is perfect. He's never too early or too late. As much as we might want something to happen on a certain timeline, and why is it always like that certain timeline is now, right? We expect something or we want something to happen, and how many times is, I want it now, right? Immediate. The delay is often the divine protection, preparation, or building character. His timing is always right, but not always easy. Right? Second thing, in 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Right? So his timing is different than ours. It's beyond. We can't wrap our head around his, you know, timing and whatnot. To God, 1,000 years is just one day. Divine timing transcends human perspective. To us, time is linear. It moves in one direction on a timeline. It's sequential. Something happens, the next thing happens, etc. But God is outside time's constraints. In other words, he's timeless. He's not bound by chronological succession. He created time, and like created thing or all created things, its purpose is to fulfill his will and bring glory to him. Lamentations 3:25 through 26 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So his timing involves purposeful waiting. There's a reason in the waiting, okay? As we get older, time seems to pass faster and faster, right? We kind of see it as something to endure, to put up with. As you know, I just turned 54. waiting for that 55 to get some good discounts maybe, right? I have my retirement count going down. You know, I'm in single-digit years now. It's time. Time's passing. Time's moving, right? I'm just looking forward to that, the time that I get to spend with my grandkids, right, and my wife. But God's timing involves or should involve a spiritual growth. This waiting for God's timing should act as a deliberate period of preparation that builds trust, refines characters, and aligns our personal desires with His will. Waiting is an active, not a passive process that strengthens faith. Right? Faith. Think about that. Waiting is active. We're not just sitting there twiddling our thumbs, just hurrying up, whatever thing to get over. It's not like a doctor's appointment or a dentist chair. How many of you guys sit in those dentist chairs? Just wait for that time to be done, right? It's not for that, okay? Next, James 5, 7 through 8 says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until it receives the early and later rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So His timing is perfect in due season. The promise is that waiting on God's timing will result in a reaping, a harvest that if we don't give up. It means that blessings, answers, or breakthroughs are released at the precise moment of readiness when it's most sustainable, right? And most importantly, for God's glory. And I came across this thing, and I have no idea if anybody's ever heard of it before, or if it's just like a general principle that just kind of, they fit into this. The slow cooker principle. Anybody hear this? And I don't know if it was just random or whatever. So I thought, and I'm like, ooh, that sounds interesting. But then I got to think, it's like, it's not so great. Or you know what I mean? But it's just, so anyway, it's just an analogy. It says, God's timing is like a crock pot rather than a microwave. It produces lasting, high quality results rather than quick, burnt, and unsustainable results. I thought it was anything you can, make a connection with God and something real that we know, right? Yeah. So slow cooker principle, there you go. All right. Okay, and then last, Romans 8:28. Now, this will be the last, but I'm also going to kind of delve into Romans 8:28 because it's just such a powerful verse anyway. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Amen. God's plans are for good. He doesn't want to withhold good things from those who walk uprightly. If it's going to be good for us, He'll give it to us as long as it aligns with His perfect will and His perfect timing, right? His good timing is an expression of His perfect wisdom, love, and sovereignty, ensuring that all things work together for the ultimate benefit of the believer. Even when in our minds we see delays or hardships, right? It's all working for good. So let's kind of delve into this, just the scripture real quick. Just a couple notes about, just taking snippets. So it's all things, right? All things. I mean, that's everything. Paul does not say it's some things, right? Or a few things. It's all things. Everything works for good. All the victories and all the disappointments, right? All the open doors and all the closed doors. All the answered prayers that are yes, and all the answered prayers of wait. All things work for good, right? The moments that we celebrate and the moments that we just are barely surviving. All things, right? We're taking all things, guys. This doesn't mean that all things are good, right? Scripture never calls evil good, right? But it does say that God can take even what was meant for harm and weave it into His redemptive purpose, right? So He's not saying that everything's good, or good is evil, right? Evil's good, but he can use that. He can weave it into the redemptive, right? All things work together. So the phrase together suggests cooperation, like instruments in an orchestra. And I thought this was kind of a cool little illustration. One instrument alone, right, may sound incomplete, but under the direction of the master conductor, every sound has its place, and they all kind of fit together, right? God is the master conductor of our lives. Some notes are minor, some are seasons of dissonance, but he sees the entire composition, and what feels chaotic to us is coordinated by him, right? And so all those things that are layered upon layer upon layer that we see is just those one moment of this, what a pain that's happening to me, right? God sees how that fits, and then that builds us together, right? Builds our faith. God sees it. We don't always see it like that, right? We need to have those eyes that we can see how God sees. Okay. And they're for good, right? Here's where we must be careful, for good does not always mean immediate comfort. Darn it, right? Good does not always mean immediate comfort. Good does not always mean a financial increase. Good does not always mean physical healing, right? And good does not always mean earthly success. You know, most of you guys know that years ago, six years ago, you know, I had cancer and went through a bunch of stuff and had some pretty major surgeries and whatnot. And I looked at what I was diagnosed with, and it's like, I had good odds. With Jesus, I had great odds, right? But I had good odds, And then there was a famous actor that was diagnosed with the exact same thing that I was diagnosed with. He passed away, right? And so it kind of made me just like, oh my goodness, it's like, what? Praise the Lord that, that I survived. But, right, it's not always that physical healing that we expect, or it's not always going to be the earthly success, or all those things that we feel like. Remember, we talked about earlier, the guy, he was just looking for just some shekels. He was just looking for something, right? Temporary, okay? But praise the Lord that he has a viewpoint on our eternal, right, salvation. That's more important than him, than our immediate feelings of comfort and warmth and protection, right? Romans 8:29. All right, whoops. All right. The next verse says God is ultimately about being conformed, we discover that good is ultimately being conformed to the image of Christ. Right? All things work for good. And what does that really mean? It means that we are, it's like we want these things. We want those temporary things like the lame man. We need those things oftentimes, right? But when it's that good that we're looking for, we need to understand that that good, in God's viewpoint, just like those struggles that we're going through, that good is being transformed into Christ's image, right? And that's not a pleasant thing. Right, that's not an easy thing to deal with sometimes, or most of the time. Right? Okay. God's greatest good is for us is not ease, right? It's Christ-likeness, not comfort, but transformation, not temporary relief, but eternal glory. Sometimes God uses pressure to produce perseverance. Sometimes he allows trials to deepen trust. Sometimes he removes what we lean on so we will actually lean fully on him, right? Okay. To those who love God, right? This promise belongs to those who love God, not to those that are perfect, not to those that never struggle, not those that have it all together, right? But to those who love him, even love him imperfectly. Imperfectly, right? The love for God anchors us in trust. When we love him, right, we believe he is good, even when life is not, right? And oftentimes we look at life, and life is hard. Life is not always good, right? And then when we do get those moments, and I mean moments, where life is good, right? Life is great, you know? It's so fleeting, right? It's so fleeting, all right? Trust when you cannot see evidence, right? When you cannot see God's hand to trust, right? We need to release what we cannot control. All things are in his hands, not yours. We need to look for growth, not just relief. Ask not only, right, God, remove this, but also, God, shape me through this, right? That's what we need to be asking. Right? It's okay to pray for those, you know, those temporary things. It's okay to pray for physical healing, and it's okay to pray for the financial security and whatnot. But ultimately, we need to be transformed into Him, right? That's the ultimate, right? Where we'll be able to do hold the hope, right? If it's not good yet, God's not finished yet, right? If it's not good yet, God's not finished yet. Amen. All right. So, sorry, that was a little loud. Remember, let's kind of go through just real quick, because I have a tendency to just stop and just walk away. His timing is perfect and sovereign. His timing is different from ours. His timing involves purposeful waiting, right? His timing is perfect in due season, and his timing is rooted in goodness, right? But remember, his view on things is not our view, right? You know, his idea of what good is not those temporary fixes. It is what is going to bring us to more Christ-likeness. Amen? Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word and what it means to us. And Father, I just pray that as we are delving in, or we delve into your word, that reveal any truths that we could take away from this, Father God. The idea that your timing is different, and we need to understand that. Your mindset is different, Lord God. But as we pray, we can pray those that our mindset would be more like yours, Lord God. Reveal the secrets and the truths to us, Father. Help us to walk in the truth that all things work together for good to those who love you, Father, to those who are called according to your purpose, Lord God. Keep calling us according to your purpose, Lord God. And just, Father, I just pray that you would be pleased with what you see and hear. And we just lift this prayer to your holy and heavenly name. Amen. Okay, before you guys go, I am needing some help in terms of for Awana, and this is totally like me, right? I was supposed to come up with a presentation or a presenter for our missionary lesson for our Sparkies, and this is. What, kindergarten through second grade? Is that right, Diana? Okay, I just want to make sure. So they're little kids. They're easy, right? They're a piece of cake. You got no problem with that. I need to know someone who's like a missionary. Be praying about that. If this is something that, you know, God is telling you do it, right? Because it's a little like a talk for about 15 minutes, right? And you could just explain a little bit about what God, you know, where you went through life and time, you know, just kind of what, you know, God worked through you and some of the things that you saw. But anyway, you will help out that I did not get it done earlier, and so I'm throwing myself on your mercy and your So if you guys have any knowledge of anybody that would be willing to do that, it'd be a quick one. Anyway, what's that? When? You tell me. No. Like, when do you want the lesson, or when do we need it done? It's like, you tell us and she's going to make time because it's already passed. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Wednesday during our WANA time. It's Wednesday night. What time would be, I mean, like, we can get specific on this. It's like there you go, 6:15 to 6:30. If you want to come and just talk for that particular amount of time, yes. No. So what happened was I was supposed to set this up. Diana, in her infinite goodness, right, because she's a great lady, took mercy on me and says, it's okay, we'll just work on it. I'll fill it in with stuff. You just find somebody that's going to be able to do it. Well, this is me helping or trying to find somebody that's going to do it. So it's kind of an open-ended right now. That makes sense, right? So you tell me, we can schedule it, and then we'll let Diana know, and that way she can plan accordingly for her schedule, right? But we do not have a, you know, crazy amount of time. So I'm just kind of relying on your guys' experience of being missionaries or anything like that. Any other questions to help? Because I'm sure when I was talking, now that you guys ask these questions, I see, okay, you know, I kind of throw it out there and let you guys figure it out. Usually it's out, right, Naomi? All right. Any other questions about the missionary talk? Okay. So it's a beautiful day outside. I just send you out there. Enjoy it with your families. Praise the Lord. And we'll see you guys next Sunday. All right.